Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Romans, the 13th chapter. And I know what you're thinking, that Romans, the 13th chapter, that's the subject to government chapter, right? Well, not in its entirety. Although Paul has something to say about our government and our role to our government, the context of Romans, particularly chapter 12, 13, and 14, have more to do with our behavior. So tonight I want to look at Romans chapter 13 to 11 through 14. And I've entitled the sermon, Dawn of the Day. Because in these four verses, Paul makes use of a material illustration to set forth a lesson of life, which he does quite often. We're going to read the passages, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight. I'll start in verse 10. It says, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in its regard to its lusts." I want us to see here that Paul presents to us an early morning scene. Much like the dawn that we see ourselves, where light begins to stir and the darkness thins. And in the picture, he shows us an army of soldiers that lie asleep. And as the day begins to dawn, the call of the bugle is sounded, and it summons them to awake, to arise, to cast aside their night garments, and to gird themselves with armor. It's particularly interesting because he wrote this book to the Romans. And in this particular time, the Romans were the most powerful nation in the world. So they knew a thing or two about triumphs and victories. A lot of the people he was writing to probably were soldiers. So this would be familiar to them. This is certainly a picture that they could understand. And here amongst Paul's admonitions, from chapter 12 and on, we have a call to watchfulness with a view to holiness in all relations of life. And he bases it on the grounds that the day is near. I'm a little behind. So here in the words of the apostle, we have our own bugle call to awaken, to arise, to get ready, to gird ourselves. And in it, he presents to us a directory for a day's work. Just four principal points that we'll look at this evening. The first is this concept of the waking hour. You notice that the first thing that Paul says is that the time is now. It's not tomorrow or someday in the future or someday in the past. It's now. It's the present. The hour that he's talking about is the present. He says, knowing the time, that is already the hour for you to awaken from the sleep. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us because he's used this kind of language in other letters. He wrote a letter to the Thessalonians. And in it, he uses the exact same language. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 11. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just also as you are doing. The sleep that Paul is talking about here is a sleep of listlessness, of negligence, of carnal security. And this call that he puts forth is an urgent call. It's an imperative call to awaken from this slumber. He goes on to say that the night is far spent. In verse 12, the night is almost gone. Sleeping time is gone, Paul says. In fact, he implies that we've already overslept. And follows by saying the day is at hand. The day is the time to work, to battle, and to receive our reward. Many Christians are asleep. They're inactive and they're idle. And Paul's admonition here is one that says that the living present demands all our energy, all of it. And it's time to arouse ourselves from indifference to that of concern, from half belief to earnest faith, from inactivity to zeal. As I stated before, his call is one of urgency. He goes on to talk about what we wear, our working garments. And so when we are awake and we are up, we must consider our working garments. And he poses it in two different ways. Things that we must lay aside and things that we must put on. And of course, the things that we must lay aside are works of darkness. In John 3, actually I want to look at Colossians, I'm sorry. Colossians 3, chapter 5 through 11. Another letter that Paul has written. Here in the third chapter, verses 5 through 11, he discusses some of these works of darkness. Picking up on verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. The image of the working garments here, as Paul uses in this language, is that of works of darkness. And these are the things that we have to lay aside. These are the night clothes which men are ashamed to wear during the day. These are the former habits of life that here in the Bible as regarded as clothing once worn, which have to be put off. But he goes on to say there's something that has to be put on. And these are the graces and the virtues that are supplied by Jesus Christ. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, again, a lot of the language that Paul uses, he uses in different letters. And we read this passage, but in verse 8 he said, but since we are the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet, which is the hope of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6, a very well-known passage. verses 10 through 19. 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what we are to put on. If we cast off the works of darkness, what we are to put on is the full armor of God, which God has provided for us. And so this concept is being introduced here, that as Christians we're soldiers, and we're on watch during the night, awaiting daybreak, equipped with arms given to us by God, careful not to fall asleep on watch, and careful not to allow ourselves to conduct in deeds that would be shameful. Back to our text. Verse 13, the manner of our walk. Once again here, Paul states this in two different ways. It gives us a contrast between the positive and the negative. He says in verse 13, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Let us walk becomingly as in the day. We should walk as Jesus walked, who walked in purity and love and humility to the Father's will. The opposite of that is not to walk in the things that we may once have walked before. Things like carousing and drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, strife and jealousy, indulgence in these sensual acts, unholy thoughts, and acts of hatred are all works of darkness that Paul is discouraging us from putting on again. Take a look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15 through 25. And Paul, in this letter to the Galatians, is doing the same thing, contrasting things that are pure and right with things that are works of the darkness. It says in 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no such law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Again, the same language that Paul is using here in Galatians. Not as many young people as I anticipated here today, tonight. But I'm going to talk to you anyway. And by young, it's anybody younger than me. So if you're younger than 43, I'm talking to you. This passage applies to all of us, obviously. But in particular, I was looking up the statistics from 2014, and this is in regards to teenagers, but it's applicable to all. But the latest statistics on teen drug use in 2015 was that almost 50% of high school seniors have abused a drug of some kind. Teen sexual activity still hovers near 50%, somewhere in the 40s, but it's still close to 50%. Teen smoking, 25% have tried some form of tobacco. Teen drinking, 35% have tried some form of alcohol. 21% of those have done binge drinking, 10% of those have driven after driving, and 22% of those drove with someone after they were drinking. Young people, come on in, Sean, too. Your parents have done the best they can to guide you on the narrow path to heaven. It's inevitable, I think, as young people, there's a certain attraction when we get free from our parents to start thinking that we want to put our own personal touch to our image. Our parents have guided us, they've molded us, they've shaped us, but I just want to put a little personal touch to who I am. And the reasoning in our minds is, I'm going to stay on the same path as mom and dad has shown me, but I'm just going to take a little offshoot, just a small little offshoot of that same path, and eventually I'll be right there at the end of the same path. The fallacy in that is that once you're off the path, you're off the path. There is no other path. There's no offshoot. There's either the narrow path that leads to heaven, or the other path, the wide path that leads to destruction. Do you remember the story in the garden where Satan tempted Eve? What was it that he used? What was the deception that he used? Did he not make it seem to Adam and Eve that they were missing out on something? That God was keeping them back? There was something that they deserved and they needed it, and he held back? Young people, don't fall victim to that same garbage that Satan tries to put on you. Your parents aren't keeping anything from you that would be of benefit. Understand that. Finally, Paul talks about wholesome provisions. He says in there on verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Christ, actually I'm going to look at Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to skip that passage. Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Clothed with Christ. Christ is described as a robe of beauty, of purity, of gentleness, of anything good. And he who puts on Christ is fully equipped, for in him we are complete. The contrast to that, Paul says, is to make sure that the luxuries are forbidden. Make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Our appetites must be kept in check and denied. The language that he uses here, when he talks about clothing, we understand when he talks about the darkness, the night clothing is the works of the darkness, and that's what we have to put away. We understand this to be our negligence and our sins, and it's inconsistent with true spirituality. However, holiness, diligence, patience, these are things that are appropriate to those who have a hope so glorious and promises so sure as we do. Our applications. Never again should we sleep the sleep of carelessness. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus gives us the parable of the talents. And we're not going to read it because we're familiar with it. We understand it. And in that parable, the owner gives out 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to the final servant. And both the 5 talent and 2 talent servant bore fruit and doubled what the master had given them. And we know the story of the 1 talent servant hid his. And when you think about that story, we take it in the perspective of our life and its completion. In other words, everything that I've done, did I either bear fruit or am I the 1 talent man? But I want us to think in a different perspective. For if I get up one day and I decide to be asleep spiritually, to be asleep just for the one day, or perhaps a couple of days, or a week, or a month, am I not the 1 talent man? Have I not taken the talents or the gifts that God has given me and just hid it and cast it aside? Have I not wasted any opportunity that I had that day or that week or that month for the cause of Christ? It's more than just the entirety of our lives. It's every day. And Paul's encouraging us here to be awake, to be aroused, to zeal, to work. I think the second thing we can learn is that the Christian is a soldier and therefore must wear armor. What's amazing about this statement is that the armor is given to us by God. And it doesn't really cost. It's not like I have to spend hundreds of dollars on a helmet and a shield and a sword. It's given to me by God. What would you think if you saw a man running across the parking lot naked? We would think there's something wrong with that person, right? Maybe even need of some mental help. And yet, how crazy is it that we can walk around spiritually naked? We will get up and go about our day without arming ourselves with the armor that God has provided and just go out into battle naked. That's crazy. It's insane. As Christians, we're soldiers and we should put on the armor of God every day, so that we are ready to make defense. There is only one narrow path that leads to heaven. And Paul has told us that the works of the night are to be abandoned, and that those things belong to an era in your life that has long since been forgotten. It's on a remote distance from here. That's you in the past. That's a long time ago. Do not clothe yourselves with those things anymore, but rather clothe yourselves with the armor of God. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't give in to its lusts. Be alert. Be sober. Be awake. Be active. Be ready each day for the cause of Christ. We're going to finish with Luke chapter 21. In verse 31 to 36. And the lesson will be yours. This is actually Jesus. And in verse 31 to 36, it says, "So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will not pass will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. These are Jesus' words that Paul has echoed to us in Romans. Be on guard. Be ready, so that day will not come upon you like a trap. And that's the invitation, really, tonight. Whether you've been baptized and you are a Christian or you're a Christian, are you ready? Are you alert? Are you on the lookout for Christ? If that day were to come tonight, would you be ready to stand before the Son of Man? These are all questions that you need to answer. But if there's something that we can do to help you tonight, we stand ready to help you as we stand and sing.